Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio. And we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway Market. Welcome to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show on Heritage Radio Network. We are broadcasting live from behind Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn on this very cold December night. Suddenly it's freezing out. Ugh, we even had a little snow flurries yesterday here in New York. It's December. I suppose it makes sense. It's appropriate, but I don't know. Seems a little soon for me. But anyway, even though it was freezing also this past weekend, it didn't stop me from getting out in the city and getting around and going to all the markets that I enjoy visiting. And, you know, I'm not in the city on weekends for most of the summer, basically from April to October. You know, we go to the tiny bungalow, which I've talked about a lot here. And we close the tiny bungalow up for the winter because it's uninhabitable in the winter. And so then when I'm back in the city, I get to do sort of all this stuff that I never do otherwise. So two of those things are going to the Grand Army Plaza Farmers Market, which I think is the best one in the city, and also the New Amsterdam Public Market, which I love, which is a relatively new thing here in New York. And now I even have a third weekend option, which is the Brooklyn Food Shed Market, which is a little indoor market. It's inside of a store on Atlantic Avenue, right in my neighborhood. So I can go there too. It's like this bounty of market choices now. And some of them have the same vendors. You know, there's some overlap, but that's okay, because I'd rather buy it at the place across the street than have to, you know, trek all the way into the city or something. So I feel like really incredibly lucky to be living in a time and place where I have that, the luxury of that. I mean, I think living in New York, like for years we've taken it for granted that we have great farmers markets. And now suddenly, like, we have so many options and so many to choose from, and there's just so much great stuff to buy and to eat that I mean, it's kind of overwhelming. And it, like, I find it a little frustrating because I don't eat at home that much like most New Yorkers, but because of my day job, which is teaching in a culinary school, you know, I'm there all day and I'm tasting everything they cook all day. And so by the time I get home at night, I don't really want to make dinner, let alone I don't really want to eat. And then often I wind up working nights too, so I feel like I miss out on cooking time at home. So I try to make up for it on the weekends, and I buy all this food, and then it takes a while to cook it all. But, you know, so we hit all those markets anyway this weekend, bought the usual stuff. You know, it's winter vegetable time, so more great squash. I think I talked about that amazing Thai pumpkin that I had bought for Thanksgiving that I loved. I got another one. She had only a few left, and I got one. And of course, eggs, because I'll only buy my eggs from farmers who raise them themselves on pastures. I have strict standards for eggs now. Got some great bread, and got some really good wine, because this weekend at the New Amsterdam Market was the New York State Wine Market. So that was fun. It was really, really cold out, though. So those little sips of wine definitely helped. Everybody's very generous with their tasting. So New Amsterdam Market, I think I talked about it last year around this time. It started out as a monthly market on Sundays, and it's down where the old Fulton Fish Market used to be. And now this year it's been weekly, which is great. It's great that it's something that is doing so well that you can go every weekend. And they sort of have these different themes. So this week it was New York State wine, and next weekend it's cocoa, citrus, and coffee, which is sort of interesting because none of those three things are grown anywhere near this region. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do that one. I really like to go to that market. I like to support it. I like to buy whatever I can buy there. And something new this year, the guy from Moe's Fun Farm, which is a farm that raises Mangalitsa pigs. And Mangalitsa pigs are these really interesting pigs that are from Hungary. And they have curly hair. You may have seen them. They have like black curly hair. They did a story in the Times a couple years about them. So they have black curly hair, and they have really, really, really fatty, rich, dark meat. They were like basically bred for their fat, not their meat. They're a lard breed, apparently. So anyway, I know him from other events. We've talked before. We have sort of friends in common and whatever we're talking. And so I bought a packet of ground pork from him because I've been kind of on this ground meat thing lately. Sort of really been enjoying cooking with ground lamb, ground pork, not so much ground beef. I try to limit my burger intake in general, but I've been really liking ground lamb and ground pork lately. And so the Mangalitsa pork it's pretty fatty. So it makes a really nice ground meat because it stays really juicy. Because when you grind up meat that's too lean, it's going to be really dry and you're not going to have any flavor, any moisture in there because that comes from fat. And these pigs have the fat. And, that's what they were meant for. They were really bred for lard. And the meat is really, really dark too. And they're pretty cool. I went to a whole like pig roast where they featured these pigs and the hair is really curly. And so it's weird because like when you eat the skin, it has little black hair sticking out of it, which was okay. You know, you just eat them. You don't mind. But apparently I was doing a little research and these pigs were bred only for the Habsburg royal family to consume. Common people weren't allowed to eat them because they were so good. Only the Habsburgs were allowed to eat them. I don't know if that's true or not. And genetically, they are related to the Iberico, the black-footed pigs of Spain. They're their cousins. But they're descended from wild boar, too, which sort of explains why their meat is so dark. Anyway, so they were this breed, and they had been, bred by the royal family and eaten by them. And then during the Soviet era, they practically died out. They were brought nearly to extinction. And the story is that somebody smuggled a couple of them out and started raising them in other places. And there were only a couple hundred that survived after the Soviet era, but now they've made a comeback like other heritage breed animals. They were sort of brought back from the brink, which, for us is great. So anyway, like I was saying, I'm on this ground meat kind of thing, and sometimes people are like, oh, you don't want to eat ground meat. It is too much fat. But you know what? I don't care. Because if I'm going to eat meat, I'm only going to eat really good meat anyway. I don't eat industrially raised meat. I don't eat fast food. I try to avoid all that stuff anyway. And if you're eating pastured meat, the fat's going to be really good and delicious and really healthy fat and high in oleic acid, which is like olive oil, basically. So I don't have an issue with it. I'd rather eat 6 ounces of really, really great meat then eat 12 ounces of really, really bad meat, quality. So when I was growing up, we used to eat a lot of ground beef because it was really cheap. It was the 70s. It was the recession. Times were tough. We ate a lot of ground beef growing up. But growing up in New York, we always called it chop meat. Did you guys call it chop meat? We always called it chop meat, not chopped meat, chop meat. And I, that's what I always sort of called it. And then I got to adulthood and people were like, what? What is that? And then Rudy Wide, who's this very renowned butcher, was doing a demo one day at school and he called it chopped meat too. And I said, oh, it must like be a New York thing or something. But so we always ate a lot of that, a lot of ground beef. And it was really cheap. And I can't even imagine what sort of damage it did to me because it was such bad meat. And so now I don't really, I avoid the ground beef. If I'm going to eat a burger, I'll eat like a really good burger a couple times a year. You know, get some good, like, grass-fed, organic, decent ground beef. Make a burger, put it on the grill. So I really know what's going on with it, and I know what's gone into it, and the fear of E. coli contamination is much lower. Because, as you probably know, when industrially raised cattle are being processed, when they're being slaughtered, the line that they are processed on, it moves so quickly and the workers are forced to move so quickly that often when they're eviscerating them, they cut open the guts, you know, accidentally. And when you cut open the guts, of course, you get all the stuff inside the intestines, all the fecal matter. It splashes out and it can contaminate the meat. And that's where the E. coli bacteria is that naturally lives inside the animal's intestine and is okay when it's inside. It's not okay when it gets out and gets on the meat. So it gets on the exposed meat and then that's where the problem starts. Now, if you just take that cut of meat and you sear it or grill it or cook it or whatever, that's fine. The E. coli on the surface dies and you're going to be okay. But when that meat gets ground up raw, that stuff gets ground up inside. And then if you cook your burgers medium rare, which is how I would like to eat them, then you might have a problem, right? And that comes, of course, from, you know, the too fast, too much, too mechanized approach to slaughtering and butchering. So I try to limit that to people I can trust, try to get meat from good sources, small, sustainable, all that stuff. But I do love my ground lamb and ground pork that I was talking about before. I mean, I think they're, like, in a way, they have so much more flavor. They're so much more complex than beef. So we're going to take a very quick break, and then we're really going to talk some more about ground lamb and ground pork. We'll be right back. Listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Welcome back to Why We Cook, the Chef's Marty Pants radio show. I'm Erica Wides, your host. I think I forgot to mention that in the first segment. That's who I am. I'm Erica Wides, Chef's Marty Pants, your host. If you're a fan of this show, you can find us on Facebook. Just look for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I would love to hear from you. Become a fan, leave a comment, ask a question. Criticize. It's okay. I can take it. Let me know what you think. Any ideas for shows you want to hear me stuff talk, you want me to talk about? Let me know. You can also leave comments on the Heritage Radio Network website, heritageradionetwork.com. Find the show that you're interested in commenting on, and you can leave a comment on that. And you can also now listen to programming 24 hours a day on Heritage Radio. And if that's not enough, you can also podcast every single one of our shows now on iTunes. So there's really no reason for you to ever not listen to us every waking moment, as you should. So anyway, tonight we were talking about ground meats. Ground meats. Something that, you know, I sort of identified with, like, growing up in the 70s during the recession and Hamburger Helper and really grim stuff like that. But actually, I think ground meats can be really great and versatile and delicious and way more inexpensive than whole cuts. And also, they're very profitable for small meat producers. So you should buy them. So years ago, I think I've talked about this before, but I did a 3-week internship on a grass-fed lamb farm in Western Pennsylvania. I applied for a scholarship through the Jean-Louis Paladin Foundation, and I won. And what I won was the opportunity to go, I mean, I sort of chose it, but the opportunity to go to this lamb farm, way western PA, like near Pittsburgh, the Midwest. And so I went because I sort of had these ridiculous visions of myself, you know, holding like little cooing baby lambs and feeding them bottles and, you know, frolicking in the fields with them. Something out of like a, I don't know, like out of a Disney film. It was so not like that at all. I basically spent 3 weeks in the slaughterhouse and in the processing plant. I never even got to touch a live lamb. Basically, every time I tried to go near them, they ran away from me in fear. So I didn't really, you know, get the like pastoral farming experience so much, but I did get really good at hosing down carcasses and putting the blue inspected stamp on the haunch of the dead lamb, because the guys in the slaughterhouse said that was the girl job. And that's what I could do. I could hose them down and I could stamp them. So that's what I got to do. They wouldn't let me use the bolt gun, which was okay because I didn't feel great about that. Not because of the killing, but because I was afraid that if I missed, you know, it might not be so pretty. And I figured, let's leave the experts to that. But it was pretty fascinating. Working in that slaughterhouse was pretty interesting. Once you got beyond the smell and the gore, it was pretty cool to see how that all happened. And what's really fascinating is how quickly they go from being animals to being meat. Like a couple minutes and it's done and it's meat. It's very, very quick change. So my butchering skills also got really good because I would work in the plant and help to process and butcher. And I got really good at cryovacking too because I had to do that. And I also got really good at putting UPS labels on boxes. Valuable skills. Not a lot of farming, but a lot of other skills were gained. But part of the deal was that I stayed with the family who owned the farm and I ate with them every night. And I got to eat lamb almost every night of the 3 weeks. I counted, and out of the 21 nights that I spent there, I actually ate lamb on 17 of them. But that's okay, because I think lamb is the best meat, and I love it. And so I was happy to eat all of that lamb. And so a couple of weeks ago, I got my hands on some really good ground lamb, some nice grass-fed, delicious lamb. And I took it home, and I thought, what should I do with this? Sort of in the mood to make like little mini patties, like little lamb burgers. So I was thinking kind of Greek, Mediterranean. So I chopped up a whole bunch of mint that I had harvested all the herbs up at Tiny Bungalow. And I chopped up some mint and some red onions and a lot of garlic and some fennel seeds. And I mixed that all with the lamb and I made these little patties and I seared them until they were really crusty, but still pink inside because lamb should definitely be eaten medium rare. And then I roasted up some cauliflower with turmeric and some salt. And it was great. Made this really great meal. These little lamb patties were really juicy and really delicious. And I swear, like, I would rather eat those than some, you know, rack or chop. Even though I love that, I certainly wouldn't turn that down. I feel like, in a way, like, the experience of the ground lamb, it's like, it's more... I don't know, it's more primal, like you get more flavor out of each bite or something, it's juicier, it's just, I don't know, really good. So that was a couple weeks ago, the little ground lamb patties, burgerettes, lamb burgerettes. And then Sunday, just this past Sunday, I had bought that ground pork at the New Amsterdam market, so those I made into little tiny pork meatballs. So I sweated out shallots and garlic, and then I mix that into the pork with an egg and some breadcrumbs, and I had a whole lot of dried sage and dried mint, same thing from the garden, and more fennel seed because I need to eat fennel seed with everything, and a lot of black pepper, and I rolled them up into little meatballs and I seared those off too, threw them in the oven, and then I had gotten like a really nice big white cabbage and I sliced that up and I fried that up really hot. I like to put cabbage in like a hot pan, some oil, and just like sear it and get it crunchy and golden. And I threw some raisins in there and some chili flakes and then a splash of wine, white wine, and had that with those little meatballs. And it was just a great combination. Like the cabbage was really like sweet and crunchy and delicious with a little bit of chili flake in there and the raisins. And then these little juice bomb meatballs were just amazing. Like so rich and porky and flavorful and great. And when I was browning up those meatballs, they had left a lot of fond in the pan. There was like a lot of crust in the pan, so I deglazed that with some old white wine that we bought and didn't really like. And then I added like a tablespoon of heavy cream and just scraped it all up. So it was almost sort of like this Swedish meatball kind of sauce, like IKEA meatballs. But if they had migrated to Sicily. So it was really a good combination. It was really great. And I think, you know, I what I really love about using these ground proteins is like their versatility. To me, they're like, it's like the Play-Doh of protein. You know, you can kind of form it into whatever shape you want. It's like you can create your own cuts of meat, like your own prefab shaped protein. Maybe I'm getting lazy and I don't really want to chew anymore or something. I don't know. But, you know, I love Play-Doh. I've talked about making my own Play-Doh before because I used to make my own Play-Doh when I was a kid and then form it into little tiny versions of all my favorite foods, which I would then put in my dollhouse that had no people in it. I've talked about this before. So this is, I think, sort of like my grown-up approach to like eating or, you know, having Play-Doh and eating it too or something. All right, another quick break. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Fairway, like no other market. Welcome back to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show. I'm Erica Wides, Chef Smarty Pants, your host. And tonight is my tribute to ground meats. Yes, we're talking about ground proteins, particularly lamb and pork. Not so much ground beef, lamb and pork, and how delicious and versatile they are, and so much cheaper than buying whole cuts, but also very profitable for small meat producers because they get to use up all their scrap. So you should buy up that ground stuff that your small meat producers sell because they need your money. They need your money way more than the big industrial agribusiness guys do, for sure. But if you're listening to this radio station, you already know that, and you probably already do that. So who am I to tell you that? Anyway, when you grind up a protein, an animal protein, not like a bean or tofu, they're okay. But when you grind up an animal protein and then you mix it vigorously, which is usually what you do, what happens is you activate two compounds that make up the protein. So proteins are made of a lot of different things, but there's also two different things in them, chemical structures in them called actin and myosin. They're components of proteins. And actin and myosin are what give meat its structure and its shape. It's like collagen. It's all connective tissue. But when you grind the meat and then you start mixing it, the actin and the myosin, they combine and they get together and they form actomyosin. And actomyosin is this stuff that creates this like webby glue that holds together your meatballs or your sausages or your burger patties or your meatloaf, whatever you're making out of the ground meat. So if you've ever made your own sausage, the instructions will always tell you to grind the meat and then mix it vigorously. Either put it in a KitchenAid mixer with the paddle or stir it or like knead it with your hands. It's like when you make a meatloaf too or a meatball, you want to kind of mix it enough so that the meat patty, so the meat becomes sticky. When you do a sausage making, it's the same idea. You grind up the meat, you mix it with your seasonings and your spices and additional ground fat usually, and often some ice too. And you mix it until it gets really sticky. And that stickiness is the actomyosin developing. It's the actin and the myosin, which in unground meat are just isolated on their own. But when it's ground, they meet, and they bond together and they form actomycin. And actomycin will make sure that your sausage or your patty or your meatball or whatever will stay cohesive when you cut into it, when you slice it. Because if you don't activate that, if you just grind the stuff, shove it right into the casing or form it into whatever shape you want, then after it's cooked, it can crumble and you just wind up with a pile of ground meat. Which isn't such a bad thing either, because sometimes you want to crumble sausage or meat and use it, you know, in things like chili or in ragouts. But the actomycin is pretty cool stuff, and it just happens naturally. It's like that meat was like calling out to be ground. Like whoever created, whatever force created that meat said, you know, it would be even better with this animal is if after we killed it and cut it up, we ground it up. And then we like mixed it all together and then we shoved it back inside its own intestines. That would be great. And that's, you know, that's what sausage is pretty much. But anyway, so one of the other beautiful sort of properties about these proteins is that when you grind them, then when you saute, you get a lot of crust in your pan. That's what I was saying with the meatballs. You get like really nice fond, which is that brown crust in the pan that you get from proteins, because a lot of the fond comes from blood and protein and fat and water that seeps out of the meat as it cooks, and it caramelizes on the bottom of the pan. And if the meat's ground, it's like all the cells have been cut open, so you get a lot more of that. So you get really nice fond, you get that really good crust, and then you deglaze that crust. And that's like pure protein gold, because if you're making a ragu or a chili or something like that, that forms the foundation of all of your flavor. So if you've ever made a bolognese sauce, you brown up your meat really well. You get it really, really crusty. And then you add wine, you deglaze, you add something acidic and you lift it right up, and that goes into your sauce. You never want to let that nice crust go down the drain when you're washing your dishes. You want to let it go down your gullet instead. And when you're doing this, you don't ever want to pile the meat up in the pan, because if you pile it up, it won't brown. It'll just steam and turn gray and greasy. And nobody wants to be gray and greasy, right? You want to be brown and crusty. That's what we're looking for. So you always want to let that meat spread out. Use a big pan with a lot of surface area. Don't let it steam. Really let it brown. If you do that, you guarantee yourself ground meat success. You can make a fantastic ragu that way if you get all that brown, crusty gold from the bottom. So that's about it on the ground beef, or the ground meat. Sorry, not beef. The ground lamb and the ground pork, and my experiences with them over the past couple weeks, which I have enjoyed greatly. We're just about out of time, but I just want to give you a little rundown on what's going on with my bees, because I haven't talked about my bees in a long time. So way back when, early in the fall, the bees were doing great and they were pumping out the honey and producing like crazy. And in their deep, which is their honey for them, it was loaded, chock full, and that's still there. But they had also produced a decent amount of honey in the shallow box, which is the honey that I can take. But, you know, I got busy. Things happen. I didn't get a chance to harvest and I didn't really get in there to get the honey out until Thanksgiving weekend, which was bad of me. And I went in there to harvest over Thanksgiving weekend. And guess what? The bees had eaten all of that honey, because that's what they do. Because in the fall, when the nectar flow stops, you're supposed to take that honey off and harvest it and feed them sugar syrup to get them through the fall until they go into their cluster, which is what they do when it gets really cold. Well, I sort of forgot to do all of that. And so instead, to get back at me, they ate all my honey. So I harvested a little bit, but I got like 4 ounces of honey. And I was supposed to get like 40 pounds the first year, but that certainly didn't happen. But I tasted the honey and it's really delicious. I have to say, I'm very proud of my little girls up there. They put out some really tasty honey. And I'm not just saying it because they're my bees. You know, like people like think their children are beautiful because they're their children, but they're not necessarily beautiful, because not all babies are cute. But these bees made some really good honey. It's complex. It's kind of citrusy. It's really good. I don't know what they were foraging in Brooklyn, what trees, but whatever it is, it worked. So the bees did a good job. Hopefully they'll survive the winter, and next fall I'll have a good crop. So we're out of time. That's it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again.